A second COVID wave is plaguing India, and hospitals and families alike are struggling to cope with the growing shortage of medical oxygen. As a result, some members of the Indian diaspora in Connecticut have answered the call for aid. Camila Vallejo has been speaking with some of them.
You know, when a wound is bleeding, deeply bleeding, and there is a threat to life, the first thing you do is to stop the bleeding, and that is increasing the availability of medical oxygen.
That's Sujata Srinivasan, an independent journalist with the Connecticut Health Investigative Team. She's raising funds for Oxygen for India, a volunteer-run campaign. The project, created last month out of Washington, D.C., is helping bridge the access gap to medical-grade oxygen.
The problem that they are solving is distribution, which is a huge barrier to getting oxygen to people in desperate need right now. It's how do you get it to remote places? How do you get it to small hospitals? How do you get it to the homes of COVID patients who cannot afford to get into a hospital?
Srinivasan has raised more than $4,500 for the group. The money will go towards buying reusable oxygen cylinders or concentrators free of charge to users. The end goal is not only to give patients take-home options, but also help hospitals free up beds for others in need. Oxygen for India has created help desks in major cities, including Delhi, Bangalore, and Chennai. But it's not the only relief effort working towards ending the crisis. Aim for Seva is an education trust in India. As the pandemic hit, it partnered with Seva International to help children and adults alike fight COVID. Dr. Sankar Naranjan with St. Francis Hospital in Hartford leads the Aim for Seva Connecticut chapter.
They've raised a total of somewhere close to $10 million. As of last week, to send oxygen concentrators and supplies to the hard-hit parts of India.
Naranjan said the situation is both alarming and saddening, as many struggle to access proper care. As of last week, India accounted for 1 in 4 COVID deaths worldwide, according to the World Health Organization. But how did India get to this point?
I think earlier this year, you know, cases were low and people were feeling confident.
That's Dr. Neha Jain with UConn Health.
We sort of had this combination of pandemic fatigue and dropping of precautions and, you know, lack of vaccinations. And then all of a sudden, we're seeing this huge surge. And the medical system, you know, much like it was here, I think, back in spring last year, is just completely overwhelmed.
She launched a personal fundraiser on GoFundMe to help her former medical school peers who are on the front lines. This is what she's heard from them.
They have polled, you know, providers that are not necessarily trained in Western medicine. You know, I don't know if anybody is sleeping who's in medicine right now. You know, there is a lot of frustration. There is a lot of fear, frankly, amongst the medical community, because when, you know, people's loved ones are sick and when you can't save them despite your best efforts, people do get angry.
Jane said, as someone who traveled back to India frequently, it's hard to watch from the sidelines.
You feel helpless, but then that's interspersed with these sort of impulses to just drop everything and run back, you know. And you know you can't do that. So you figure out ways to cope, you know, and I think that's what most people are doing. All of the diaspora here, and, you know, fundraising, providing telehealth consultations, providing all kinds of support.
If she had one message for people here in the U.S., it would be this.
Even though we're in a good place right now, the pandemic is not over. And what we're seeing in India right now can very well happen here in the U.S. as well, and that we still need to be careful.
Camila Vallejo, Connecticut Public Radio.